So would you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2? The Gospel of Luke, Jesus and his mission. We are working our way through the book of Luke here on Sunday mornings, and we are wanting to see how the life of Jesus, Luke said that he's giving an accurate account. We're seeing how the life of Jesus fulfills the story of God throughout the Bible to bring about a needed rescue for a lost and broken world. We can be, I think, accused of making too much of sin. And we do talk about the bad news. We are all sinners. We're born this way. We sin because we're sinners. This is the mess that we all face. We are hopelessly lost in sin. Sin touches every part of our lives. It brings the worst out in us. But we have been given God's gift to mankind. We have been given God's gift to mankind. His name is Jesus. He is heaven's best for earth's worst. So if you've turned to Luke 2 in your Bible or you've scrolled there on your smartphone, let's read starting at verse number 22. We are going to read verses 21 to 38 out of Luke 2. And a reminder, just previous to these verses, we read about the unforgettable night, the night that Jesus was born. And Ryan gave a message last week about this, and if you missed it, go to BethelBibleChapel.com and you can listen to it there under the media sermons. This unforgettable night was not just for a select few people. It wasn't just for Mary and Joseph, not just for the shepherds, not for those living at that time, but it was for all of humanity. And Jesus is Lord. He is the Savior. He is the promised one who was to come. So with that in mind, this is the beauty of working our way through a book like Luke, is that we can see these accounts in their context. So verse 21, let's read together. Hope you have your Bible there. If not, it is on the screen. But this is what it says. Luke 2, verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, this is right after Jesus' birth, when he, that is Jesus, was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, this is speaking about Joseph and Mary, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. And this is what he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. So this morning, I'd like us to see how this gift that God has given us is described. He is heaven's best. As we've read these verses, we've seen that there are several characters that show up. So we have Joseph, who is the adoptive father of Jesus. Mary is the birth mother of Jesus. Then also we see this man, Simeon. He was a good man, and he gets to hold Jesus. Mothers, would you let an older man just hold your 40-day-old baby? And then also we see Anna, an older woman who speaks about Jesus to those around her. But this morning, our focus is going to be on God's gift to mankind, on Jesus who is the righteous, Jesus who is the revealer, and Jesus the redeemer. So the first way that we can describe God's gift is that Jesus is the righteous. Unlike us, Jesus was not born with a sinful nature. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. Rather, he lived a righteous and a pure life, and he lived in perfect obedience to his Father. That is God. We would read later, Jesus was being baptized by John. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John. This is John the Baptist, his cousin, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus was righteous. And then Jesus said this in Matthew 5, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And so I think it's really neat that Luke gives for us this account in his gospel about showing us that, yet not only Jesus, here he's a baby, as we're reading, but and his parents do things in obedience to the law, but it just shows that Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness. We see that the Old Testament meets the New Testament in this story of God as it unfolds for us. And here we see Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, they're demonstrating that they wanted to live in obedience to God, to what God commanded. They were doing things according to the law of the Lord. And so here we read about three ancient ceremonies that were to be observed in that time, and Jesus didn't exempt himself from that. And these ceremonies are this: circumcision, then there's the redemption of the firstborn, and then also the purification after childbirth. So again, if you've got your Bible, verse 21, it says that Jesus was circumcised. He's 8 days old. And it was on that day that he was given the name Jesus. Now, Mary was told this by the angel, and also Joseph, in a dream, was told that Jesus was to be given that name. Now, we've already seen in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 59, it says that John the Baptist, when he was born, that on the eighth day, he also was circumcised. And at that time, he was given the name John. And this was the name that the angel had told to his dad, Zechariah. So this was the practice, circumcision. And we see this is the removal of the foreskin on a male. That's all I'll say about that. It was commanded by God as a sign of the covenant or a promise that God had made to Abraham, and when Abraham was 99 years old. And the promise was this, that God would establish a nation, a people for himself, the people of Israel. And we read this in Genesis chapter 17. You can follow along. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generations. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And so Jesus is circumcised. This was a serious thing. And he identifies with the people of God. Now, it's not a requirement that our baby boys be circumcised, though I know some do. But how Jesus fulfills this for us is that we, when we come to Jesus, there's a circumcision of our hearts. This is a removal of our selfish, sinful nature. So it's not a physical circumcision, but it's a circumcision of our hearts. And Jesus went through this. The second ceremony was the redemption of the firstborn. And so we read in verse 22 of Luke 2 that they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord as it was written in the law of the Lord. And it said this, every male who first opens the womb, so this is the firstborn, shall be called holy to the Lord. So Joseph and Mary, they bring Jesus up from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, to the temple. And at this time, baby Jesus, he's about 6 weeks old. And so God commanded in Exodus 13, he said this, set apart to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites, whether human or animal, it is mine. And what the practice would have been in belonging to God is that they would be sacrificed to God. But God says that for those who are the firstborn son, they are to be redeemed. So it continues, every firstborn of man among your sons shall be redeemed. You shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. We read about this redemption, this buying back of the firstborn son. It's described for us in Numbers 18, and it just says simply that 5 shekels were to be paid to the priest when the son was about a month old. So here, Jesus, he's brought to the temple to satisfy this requirement for the redemption of the firstborn son. We're going to talk about redemption a bit more later on. And then there's a third ceremony that is mentioned. This is the purification after the birth of a child. So again, in verse 22, in Luke 2, it says that when the time came for their purification, according to the law, they brought him up to Jerusalem. And verse 24 said that they came to offer a sacrifice according to, according to what is said in the law of the Lord. And it says this, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And so Leviticus 12 describes God's instructions that when a woman gives birth to a son, she is unclean. And she is unclean for 40 days because of the birth of her son. And this is what it says in Leviticus 12. It says, and when the days of her purifying are completed, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb, 1 year old for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. So both a lamb and one of those birds, and he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. And so here we see that Joseph and Mary, they bring 2 birds for her purification. And so this would suggest that Joseph and Mary aren't well off. And perhaps they're even poor. But this purification was needed because there was uncleanness. We have this flow of blood in the birth of the son, and uncleanness signifies death. But Jesus, he triumphs over death for those who would trust in him. And so here we see these 3 ceremonies and how Jesus fulfills all righteousness. Now, Jesus' parents, they demonstrate their obedience to the law of the Lord by obeying these three ceremonies. And this shows how Jesus is the righteous. R.C. Sproul, the late author, pastor, theologian, he said this: God didn't send Jesus to earth on Good Friday and say, "Die for the sins of your people, and that will take care of it. We're soon going to celebrate Easter." But no, Jesus not only had to die for our sins, but he had to live for our righteousness. His whole life of obeying the law of God, whereby he qualifies to be the Savior. His life of perfect obedience is just as necessary for our salvation as his perfect atonement on the cross. And so we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And here we see in this account of Luke that Jesus fulfilled righteousness. His parents were obedient as they did these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God." We needed Jesus to live in obedience to the law. He never did anything wrong. And that righteousness, this verse tells us, that we could be the righteousness of God in him. Our standing before God is not because of any good thing that we have done. We're sinful people, but it's the righteousness of God. Our sin was transferred to Jesus on the cross. He is our substitute. And then Jesus' righteousness is transferred to us. And so our standing before God is because of Jesus, and we put our trust in him. The author Paul David Tripp, he wrote this: "There is only one portal to acceptance with God, the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness is given over to our account. Sinners are welcomed into the presence of a holy God based on the perfect obedience of another. Christ is our hope. Christ is our rest. Christ is our peace. He perfectly fulfilled God's requirement so that in our sin, weakness, and failure, we would never again have to fear God's anger." This is God's gift to us. This is Jesus, the righteous. He lived a righteous life, even from birth, as his parents did for him according to the custom of the law. And so we have the joy of resting in Jesus' righteousness. Now, the next few verses, we see that God's gift to mankind described for us as Jesus as the revealer. And so here we encounter this man, Simeon. We're not told how old he is. It would appear that he was advanced in age because of what it says. He was a good man, though, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Your Bible might say, he was waiting for the hope of Israel. This is the Messiah. This is the one that God had promised to rescue his people. And what were the people waiting for? Well, generally in that culture, they were waiting for a deliverer. This is the Jewish nation. They were waiting for a deliverer to rescue them from their political enemies, freedom from the brutality of the Romans. They were looking for a king in the line of David, the promised Messiah. But this is the hope that we're waiting for. The Gospel of Luke would tell us this, that we're waiting for salvation. This is found in Jesus, that we can have forgiveness of sins. This is found in the song that Mary sang in the first chapter of Luke. And that Jesus would come to seek and to save the lost. We would read that later in Luke. Now we also get to see a glimpse from Simeon about the work of the Holy Spirit. It says that Simeon, under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, went to the temple. God had told him that he wouldn't die until he had seen the one that God had promised. And so here, it would be interesting to know how this came about, but it comes upon Mary and Joseph. They have baby Jesus. And it says that he takes Jesus in his arms. And we have this beautiful blessing that Simeon gives, a hymn of blessing to God. And he says in verse 30, he says this: "For my eyes have seen your salvation," talking to God, "that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Again, we see that Luke is showing us how the life of Jesus, as we go through Luke thinking about his mission and his life, how the story of God and Israel in the Old Testament and now in the New Testament of the Bible shows us that Jesus is our needed rescue, and it's for all mankind, not just for the chosen people of God. Jesus as a light reveals the path to salvation, to a right relationship with God, not just for Israel, but also now for the Gentiles. And then it says that Jesus' parents, they marvel, they're amazed at what is said about their son. Even though they've already encountered angels, they've had dreams talking about this Jesus who would save his people from their sins. Here, they marvel at what Simeon says about him. And then it continues down in verse 34, it says, behold, and Simeon is just talking to Mary here, he says, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And so those who reject Jesus, they will fall, but those who are saved, they will rise. And we'll come to see as we continue in the book of Luke that Jesus indeed did face opposition, and he still does today. Then Simeon says this, he says, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. And we would say that this is Mary at the cross. She is deeply saddened over what she witnesses there as her son, Jesus, is rejected and crucified. A sword will pierce through your own soul. And then this last line, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Jesus not only reveals the way to be saved, but he reveals what's in our hearts. And so I would say that God knows your heart today. God knows my heart. Is it a heart that's full of pride and opposition to Jesus? The result of that will be a fall. But if, like Simeon, you receive God's gift to all people, then this is great news. It will reveal a heart that is right with God. Now, there were times in the Bible when Jesus, he gives us a quick look into the hearts of the people around them. I certainly can't see in your heart, you can't see in mine, but Jesus can. He is the revealer. One such time, he is warning the crowd about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. These were the religious leaders of that time. Now, they knew their Bibles, they were doing the right things on the outside, but their hearts were hardened to the things of God. Outwardly, things looked okay, but on the inside, their hearts were far from God. And so Jesus in Matthew 23, he calls them hypocrites, really that they were phony, that they were fake. And he says to them, you're so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're filthy. You're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. He continues, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and Pharisees? You hypocrites, for you're like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with lawlessness. This is what Jesus said. Doesn't sound like him, but he knew their hearts, and he could do that. We can't do that. Jesus can do that. And when Simeon saw this child, baby Jesus, and he said this, that he was appointed for the fall and rising of many, that people would oppose Jesus and their thoughts would be revealed of their hearts. And so again, Jesus reveals what's in our hearts. Is it a heart filled with belief in God or a heart that rejects him, a heart that would reject the gift that God has given? And so here we see that Jesus is the righteous and he is the revealer. And finally, we'll see this, that Jesus is the Redeemer. Jesus is the Redeemer. And we meet this lady, Anna. She is elderly. It says that she's a prophetess. She's the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she wasn't from the Jerusalem area. But here she is in the temple, now an elderly lady, previously married, but living for a widow for most of her life. And it describes her as being in the temple, worshiping day and night with fasting and prayer. Rather than being bitter about her particular situation, she trusted in God. And she never stopped putting her hope in a faithful God. And so when Simeon is with Joseph and Mary and holding Jesus, it says that she gave thanks to God. And she was talking about Jesus to all of those who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She also was looking and longing for this promised Redeemer. Because we are sinners, we are slaves to sin. And so we need redemption. We need freedom. We need a deliverance. We need a rescue. And so again, in the book of Exodus, God's people were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. Moses was sent by God to redeem or deliver his people out of the land of Egypt so that they could worship God in freedom. Exodus 6:6 describes this for us. God said to Moses, "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment." This is God's work in redeeming. And so these great acts of judgment, the 10 plagues that God sent on the people of Egypt, the last one would be God taking the life of that firstborn in every household. The only firstborn sons that were spared from death were those families that would take a lamb and kill it. And that lamb would be a substitute for that firstborn son. And the blood was then to be put on the doorposts of that house so that when the angel of death came by, that angel would pass over that home and spare that firstborn because of the lamb that had died in the place. Jesus is our Passover lamb. By his death on the cross, when his blood was shed, he suffered and died in our place so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be freed from the curse of sin and death. We can be redeemed. This lady, Fanny Crosby, she's a well-known blind poetess. She wrote over 8,000 hymns in her lifetime. Hymns such as "Blessed Assurance," "To God Be the Glory," and one of my personal favorites is "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." She was born in 1820, and she lost her sight when she was 6 years old due to an infection. It would be in 1850, when she was 30 years old, that she became a Christian, and she was attending some camp revival meetings. But she wrote this hymn, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it." These are some of the words. "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it." She was in her early 60s. "Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am." Redeemed. Once she was asked, "Is there a special hymn written for your conversion experience?" Somebody asked Fanny this. And she said, "I would write many hymns to describe the joy of my salvation. The one that stands out to me right now is this one." And she began to sing the line of this song, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it." Crosby, she embraced her blindness, saying that when I get to heaven, the first face that I shall ever see that would gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. Again, she was blind from 6 weeks old. She saw the face of her Savior on February 12, 1915, at the age of 94. Jesus is the one that Fanny Crosby could say that redeemed her. Jesus is the one that Simeon and Anna could say was the one that they were waiting for to come and redeem them. They were looking for a Redeemer, and they got to see him. We don't need to wait for anyone else. We have a Redeemer. We have somebody to free us from the penalty of our sin. God, who is gracious, God, who is faithful, our good Father, he has given us a gift. And his name is Jesus. Have you received this gift? Have you received this amazing gift? This baby that was born on that unforgettable night, this baby that his parents brought to the temple to do what needed to be done according to the law, this baby that Simeon held and that Anna could tell those people around them. Have you received this gift? God has revealed to us who this gift is. Are you resting in Jesus' righteousness and his redemption, his purchase of freedom for you? John 1:12 says that to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is what Jesus has done for us. He's adopted us into his family because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Jesus lived the life that we could never live. He lived that righteous life, and he died the death that we deserved. And now we're to put our trust in Jesus. Not just here when we're at church, but throughout our day, throughout our week, this week, the month of March, we're to put our trust in Jesus every day, knowing and believing that Jesus' death on the cross conquered sin and death for us, and that his resurrection guarantees that we have life both now and forevermore. And by God's grace, we can come into his family, and then also by God's grace, we can live out our lives as his sons and daughters. And like Simeon, we can bless God and praise him for this gift. Like Anna, we can worship and give thanks to God for his generosity. And then like Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, we can marvel at everything that is said about this amazing gift given to us, Jesus, the best gift of heaven for all of humanity. God has given a gift to mankind, heaven's best for earth's worst. Let's receive all that God has given to us and then give our lives back to him as we live out our lives. We're going to close in prayer. The worship team is going to come and sing one more song with us. If you would like to pray with somebody, if you're thinking about what we've talked about this morning or have some things going on in your life, then please come to the front and you can talk to somebody or come find me and would be happy to talk with you. Would you please stand with me now as we pray? And Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you that you had Luke write this book so many years ago, and now we're still reading from it. We're still learning about Jesus and his mission in the world, that you, in your grace, sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And so thank you for this account. Thank you for the lives of Joseph and Mary, very key in the life of Jesus. Thank you for their obedience to you. May we be like them, Father. I thank you for Simeon and Anna, who were godly and righteous, and Father, they demonstrated that in their lives as they interacted with Jesus as well. So, Father, would you please help each one of us in our families, in our relationships, in our workplaces, wherever we are, Father, may we know this gift that you have given us and live out our faith because of that. So thank you for this church family. Thank you that we can continue to worship and give you the praise because you are so worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.